Grade 8 Conference, Lecture 7, Working with Parents, Part 3. Let's look again at the fathers who are now probably present in a higher proportion, partly because there are undoubtedly fewer people coming to your evenings, though we hope we turn that around. But it's good if you encourage the fathers to come and really make them know that they're welcome. And I have suggested in other conferences some ways to do this. One of them is to be able to speak in a quantitative way about things, which I mentioned earlier, some ways of doing this. Showing an awareness of what's going on in the larger world of education, and also showing an awareness of the larger world altogether. And I think for dads, it's really great if they know that you know something, even if you're not passionately interested, in three areas. Number one, above all, sports. Number two, financial matters, and number three, politics. So it's very good for an eighth grade teacher to be reading the newspaper every day, be it in print form or on your device or however you do that, in part because of the current events work that you want to do with the eighth graders, and in part because of the current events work you want to do with the fathers in your class. So it's good if you're able to make references to the Federal Reserve Bank has just raised the interest rates or lowered the interest rates. And it's really interesting that they're doing that right now because I am working with your children on compound interest, and we're going very deeply into that. And you know, this new group that is meant to be helping consumers out with their credit cards and being more transparent about that, we've been figuring out the compound interest that a credit card charges and seeing how heavily indebted you get so quickly with a credit card, something like that, you know, that you're segueing from the news of the day out there, fairly sophisticated stuff, and showing how in the eighth grade, we understand that. We really know how to work with that. You know, we know more about Iraq and Iran than the generals who fight there, because we learned about all of that in grade 5. We know how those battles between the Aryans and the Turanians play themselves out then, and how now they appear in a different guise as the Sunnis and the Shiites. That's something you can talk about. Or how the United States conflicts, and yet working together with China and other nations in Asia, now that we're learning about world geography and the geography of different peoples, especially in Pacifica, that becomes very obvious. So, you know, make that curriculum come to life and let your dads really know that you know how to relate what's going on in the classroom to what's out there. They want to have the feeling that, like the Jesuits, you are in the world, though perhaps you're not necessarily of it. And that will be very advantageous in helping the fathers have greater confidence in you. I would also say, take advantage of what the fathers are ready to offer. Number one, they're probably more eager now to go on class trips with you, which means that the class trips can be more demanding, more rigorous, that the dads will like to see their kids challenged more. Secondly, very important thing for us to realize, which unfortunately, we have not thought this out very well in the locales that we've chosen for Waldorf schools. When I was doing teacher training at Sunbridge Institute a number of years ago, I would always encourage the soon-to-be Waldorf teachers to look for jobs in schools in small cities. Small cities or perhaps suburbs that were within just a few minutes' drive of a city. I discourage them from choosing more rural areas because I knew that they probably were inclined to go to rural areas. I didn't have to encourage them to do that, but I insisted that everybody visit at least one school that they might not in and of themselves think they'd want to go to. Now, why did I know they were going to choose rural schools, and why was I sending them to the opposite? Apart from my generally contrarian nature, they were going to choose rural schools because, number one, they were very often people, and I'm not saying this is true in general about Waldorf teachers, but at least the people that I had in the training year after year for a decade were very much like this. They wanted to get away from it all. They were not individuals who, on the whole, felt that comfortable in the world of the 21st century. And they wanted to go to a place where there was less tuition, cleaner air, pollution. They wanted to go to a place where there was less pollution, where perhaps they could get farm fresh foods, where they could raise a family and have, you know, their young children growing up amongst farm animals in a wholesome setting, and so on and so forth. You know, a kind of alternative living style. And that is something that lives strongly, not exclusively by any means, but it lives strongly in the Waldorf movement, that we are kind of alternative, that we're really not mainstream. And this is creating many different and interesting issues in the charter schools, because charter schools, like it or not, become part of the mainstream, even if their educational philosophy is not so. And very often, charters are more easily formed in more urbanized, more populated areas than in more rural areas where they may not see the need for another school. But anyway, this was pre-charter for the most part. So they're thinking, in other words, about themselves, and that's fine. It's important for Waldorf teachers to do that now and then, thinking about, you know, their young family, their young children, and so on and so forth. Okay, now let's fast forward. I got a handful of them over those years to actually go to schools like the Rudolf Steiner School in New York City or the San Francisco Waldorf School or Chicago or something like that. For the most part, they did go on to rural schools. And things are wonderful for the first 4 or 5 grades. And then come 6, 7, 8, I'm getting phone calls from them. Or when I go to visit their school, we have a long talk. And they are shocked, shocked at what happened in the uppermost grades, which had a great deal to do, especially with drugs. A lot of drug use in these wonderful, wholesome, unpolluted, beautiful rural areas. You know, I actually had warned them about this in advance, but they conveniently forgot all about it. And this is why this happens. And I'd say this can almost be like night and day, you know, that night will follow day, can almost be predicted. Because in the early grades, and I'd say grade 1 through 5.5 or thereabouts, these are the matriarchal years. This is when the children are still very much connected to their mothers, to their mother's karma. Powerful influence of the mother lives very strongly. And it's a time when the etheric forces are still dominant, and the etheric forces live very comfortably in nature. Our etheric body is always craving for a connection to what Rudolf Steiner spoke of as the sweet innocence of nature. And that's wonderful for children to be in such an environment at that time. However, very rapidly, with the onset of grade 6 and 7 and 8, and if you have a high school, of course, the years beyond that as well, these are the patriarchal years. Suddenly, from one moment to the next, not only does the child take on his or her own karma, but the father replaces the mother as the dominant, we could say, soul and spirit influence in the child's life. Not that that moment suddenly the dad gets to be hands-on, totally involved. In fact, sometimes the dad isn't even present. He still has an influence at this age. This is when the astral body comes. The astral body is not interested in nature. The astral body is interested, as I've said more than once now, in human nature. It's the archangelic realm. It's the social realm. So at the very least, students want to be somewhere where they can just sit down and watch the human world go by. It's not enough to go camping with their parents, no matter how exciting the venue might be. It's not enough to be with their farm animals, no matter how much they may love them. It's not enough just to be surrounded by beautiful trees and woods. They want something more exciting. They want to see what other people are doing. They want to wonder at what hath man wrought and see that. Now, I learned this a long time ago when many of my friends lived on communes and really got away from it all. And, you know, no electricity and no plumbing and so on. I did that myself for a couple of years and lived an incredible subsistence existence. You want to be enmeshed in nature? Can't go much further than that. So anyway, some of them stayed on and continued this and, you know, formed a Waldorf school near that commune so that they didn't have to move and could still be living in the midst of the beauty of nature. And their children were just beautiful, wonderful little individualities. And then as the upper grades came, you know, I'd visit my friends in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountains every summer. And one year I come, and there is a TV set with a VCR. Remember what those were? What is that doing here? I didn't even know you had electricity. No, they had installed electricity a couple of years before. Well, you know, our daughter is saying she wants to see movies. And she wants us to take her into town every Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night because that's where friends are going and they're all going to see movies. They're just so bored. There's nothing else to do. So, you know, we don't want to keep spending all that money on those movie theaters and they're awful and you have to go into town and all these street people are hanging out there. So, you know, it was this or she'd leave home. And so it's very interesting. And then the next year, the VCR isn't enough, and they are going to the movies. And almost guaranteed, the year after that, they left the commune and moved into town because their daughter said, I'm leaving home if we don't move into town. I can't stand it here anymore. So this is something we have to realize that many Waldorf schools, your own may be among them, are located in a wonderful place for younger children, but a terrible place, terrible. Almost the more beautiful it is, the more unsullied it is, the more remote it is, wonderful for you and for the little ones, but terrible for the onset of the astral body. And if the kids can't find that sort of society and that interest and stimulation and have museums to go to and have live plays to go to and just see humanity flowing in and around them in many ways, then they're going to find other ways to get that kind of astral stimulation. And I can tell you that, you know, smoking, drinking, drugs will follow very, very quickly. So, what do dads have to do with all of this? It's the dads who are also interested in exposing the kids to the city life and to the life of towns and things like that. And they can really be helpful. You know, maybe they can organize things for the kids to do on Saturdays where everybody drives to the city that's perhaps 2 or 3 hours away from you, and they all do something together. It's great if you can go with them. You should go with them sometimes, but it might have to be something where you work with the dads and, you know, have them understand what might be appropriate, what might not be, but you also may have to give this over to them in a trusting way as a kind of, strange to say, social hygiene for your students. It's also good if you go maybe, oh, twice in the fall, twice in the winter, maybe something like that, once or twice, go to movies with your students. You know, find something that's not too outrageous, almost impossible nowadays, or play a movie in school. You know, get somebody's large screen TV in there. It's so much easier nowadays. We used to have to really run all over the place trying to rent things. Now, of course, you can just stream it from something or other. So that would also be really great to start to give your students doses of the larger world out there. And if it's coming through you, and if it's coming through the parents, rather than them just going out there on their own, you know, and being open to anything without any sort of judgment, that can go, number one, a long way towards bringing the dads into an engagement with their own children and with the other children. And secondly, it also will go a long way towards bringing a healthy, necessary balance to the overemphasis on the etheric forces that tends to constitute the life of the Waldorf school. You know, that on the whole, we are great with the kindergarten and the first 3 or 4 grades, and our work with students tends to start to fall apart as we go up the grades. That's another reason for all of the attrition as well, that parents can feel that many class teachers are simply out of their league, that they're really hoping the children will remain eternal third graders. That's about as far as they can go with the 9-year change. And in reality, we have to be able to meet them 12, 13, and 14. So open up the path towards human nature for them, not just nature, but also the side of human nature. And this, again, is a more masculine side of modern life, and it's something where the dads may have ideas, they may have connections, you know, they may even to bring students to businesses, the sort of like, you know, bring your child to work day, that sort of thing also. Very, very good. And it's something that, you know, you can talk about and work with the children. I urge you to work with current events. Start that fairly early in 8th grade, maybe once a week, where the children learn how to read newspapers. They see the difference between the Washington Post or the New York Times and tabloid papers like the New York Daily News, the New York Post, which are, I mention these not just to be kind of very East Coast, but also because they are kind of national. I see these papers all over the place. And also to see how Fox News and MSNBC handle the same news story that the newspaper handles, and how it's brought, what's left out, what's brought in. So to help them develop a kind of critical sense and an intelligence about working with the media, here again, it may be you've got parents who are involved in one way or another in that world who could come and talk to the students or, you know, one way or another help expose them to that. So if you are getting the parents, especially the fathers, more engaged with the class now on a different level, you'll also bring them in freedom. You know, it's not just because they want to hang out with you, but because they really are being asked to help develop something in the astral life of the students. But and explain this to them, you know, why you're doing this and what's going on and how the astral body evokes a completely different level of spiritual experience and needs to be nourished very differently from the etheric body. So that's another important way of getting the fathers engaged with their students in the eighth grade.